Now, back to the show. We have another wonderful guest with us this morning. Her name is Elisa Birnbaum. Now, I met Elisa a few years back before she started this national online magazine that she now has for social entrepreneurship. And that magazine is called Sea Change, S-E-E, change dot, magazine.ca. And it's all about, and it's all about the whole idea of starting businesses that make money, but also make a positive difference in the world in some specific way. So welcome this morning, Elisa.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Okay. So it's been a while since I've seen you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on with Sea Change and the rest of that stuff?
Well, we just passed our second year anniversary, actually, in March. So it's been a bit
Congrats.
Over 2 years. Thank you. And it's actually exciting times now. We're gearing up for a June issue, which is coming out on Tuesday. So there should be new content up online by Tuesday. So check it out. And we're developing new stories. We're growing our content. We're growing our readership. We're growing people that are you know, asking to write for us. There's a growing number of people that are doing that as well. We're also expanding a bit. So even though our base is still Canada for sure, and we're filling a need here for stories in Canada, we've also established some partnerships in the States. And we have readership all over the world. So even the UK and Australia and Africa, they've all been, you know, tuning in, so to speak, reading our issues online and writing to us and tweeting and all that kind of stuff. So it's
okay.
Been good. Yeah.
Well, in terms of the entity itself,
yeah.
SeaChangeMagazine.ca
yeah.
and .com.
Right.
What is it?
What is it? It is a magazine. It's online. It's a quarterly. So it is strictly online. People always ask us that. Where can we get a print copy? You can't at this point. We are hoping maybe to expand in that way. But right now, it's online. And it's basically just providing content on social entrepreneurship and providing all kinds of content, whether it's profile pieces or it's how-to articles or feature stories or, you know, tips, advice. Our mission is to inspire and educate and provide a form of discourse for people in this field of social entrepreneurship.
Okay, now I started off the show with my own sort of brief definition of this thing called social entrepreneurship. And I said it really is about making money while making a difference, mm-hmm. but in this case, starting a business or running a business with that sort of sense of social purpose. Can you elaborate? Can you maybe give a more detailed sense for the audience? What's this all about?
Well, I mean, you've pretty much summed it up pretty well, actually. It's okay. It's people who start a venture or a business, whatever term people are happy using, and towards fulfilling a social need in society, and usually it has a double or triple bottom line. So there is a social mission, there's profit, hopefully, and there's also usually environmental mission as well. So it's triple. Some people it's just double mission, which is still works out fine. And so basically, you know, there's social challenges all over that people are not, you know, government is not able to necessarily fix or get to, and funding is sort of tight and limited. So people are finding creative, innovative ways to use their business savvy and business models to create these ventures towards helping in those particular social challenges.
Okay. And for example, earlier in the show, our guest was Martina Ernst, and
yep.
she's the founder of a small mission-oriented for-profit company
right.
called WoBuilt, which is woman built, but in fact it's a design build company in which they have a green mission at this stage, but they also try to mentor young women from the trades and bring them in. So is that
right.
a typical example
yeah.
of a company that you might talk about?
Yes. 100%. And that would be a triple bottom line, obviously. And you know, there are some people, and this is always where the definitions come, some people say it's only social enterprise should be just nonprofit, and for-profit is called a social purpose business, but we hate to get into definitions of sea change, and I...
Well, you certainly got me confused, so...
That's the reason. I mean, I'm just, you know, there are those definitional issues, but we at Sea Change, and I think an increasing number of people, as long as business has a social mission at its core, it is a social enterprise. That's how we define it, and that's how we stick to that. So.
Okay. Now, when I first met you, I think you were doing writing and editing for another organization, yeah. which is Charity Village.
Yeah.
And Charity Village, of course, is Canada's, I would say, leading job site
yep.
for the not-for-profit sector, which is a huge sector in Canada.
Yep.
Now, you started there, and you've taken that sort of sense of goodness and contribution to society, and now you've gelled it with profit.
Yes. I mean, it was an organic growth from there. I mean, the thing about Charity Village is I'm still writing for Charity Village.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I'm still a contributing writer. And they are more than just a job site, actually. They are a resource for the nonprofit and charitable sector
yes.
across Canada, just to clarify that. But, you're right. A lot of my interest and sensibilities over social entrepreneurship definitely originated from my work with Charity Village and continues to work with it in tandem. Because I've spoken to so many nonprofits and charities for whom, they were struggling. And so they found different innovative ways to infuse business models into their organization. And that essentially creating social entrepreneurship across the board.
And in terms of Sea Change Magazine,
yeah.
is that a for-profit venture with a social mission as well?
It is.
Okay, so yeah. you're living proof. You walk the talk of what you do, which is wonderful. And you've made it past the 2-year mark.
Yeah, I know, crazy.
Which is a big event.
It is.
When you first started out, and I know you co-founded this
yes.
The person you co-founded?
Yeah, Nicole.
Nicole, so, yes, yeah. I'm correct. What was your thinking at that time? You wanted to start something up, you wanted to make some money, but also do something good?
Yes. We wanted to, starting a magazine in this time, is not exactly what you would call like, oh, that's a brilliant, profitable, objective you have in mind there. I mean, it's we obviously are...
Starting a gold mine or uranium mine, that's not a bad thing to do.
That's not a bad thing to do.
But okay.
But obviously our main objective wasn't, to become rich. That wasn't what it... But we did try to... We did establish a for-profit model because we wanted to make some profit. It would be nice. But our main goal was really to tell stories and to help inspire others, help educate others, and inform others about a movement of doing business differently, of looking at a different way of not only living your life, but a way of approaching how you make money and infusing, that social mission into business. So we just felt that there was a need for storytelling, and we were told, actually, that there was a need. People were asking us about that, and so we thought we would fill it. And that's why we started the magazine.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, both you and Martina have mentioned it's a lifestyle
yeah.
thing. It's not simply business. So maybe you can tell us a bit, Elisa, what does that mean? It's about the lifestyle aspect.
Well, I think it goes just be, people run businesses and, it does take over your life. There's no question. But I think there's something particular about social entrepreneurs who are really imbued with a certain sense of social purpose. And I feel it, and I know people that are running their organizations and working really hard. It's not just that they want to make money. They want to actually make a difference. And that there's no way that can't truly take over who you are and how you feel on a regular basis and, the things that sort of inspire you on a day-to-day basis.
Well, what if my social mission is to... let's say, to loot, pillage, and denude the land of all resources so that I can thrive and nobody else can. Do I qualify for social entrepreneur?
I think you'd have to define social mission. So I don't see one there, so I would say no.
It's a very amorphous term. You said yourself, people get confused
about
it.
They do get confused. That is true, yes.
What was the hardest part for you and it's Nicole Sumac?
Sumac, yeah.
Yeah. What was the hardest part for the two of you when you first started out this venture?
You know, the hardest part at the beginning is still the hardest part now, which is there's a few things. I mean, we're two people, and running a magazine, you typically need more. So we, it's finding the resources, finding the right people, finding funding, finding, revenue. I mean, there's so many different elements of running a magazine right now today that come into play. So I think those things we continue to struggle with, but yet we've had a lot of great we just had a lot of great stuff happen and we've kept us going and going, and it's getting bigger and better, we think. So that keeps us motivated to continue. So, yeah.
Okay. So it's it really does start to consume you.
It does.
Of course, any entrepreneurship venture in the first couple of years, unless you're very fortunate, it's going to become your life.
It will, yeah.
Day and night. Okay. So how do you take a break from the pressures of not just starting up and running a business, but also trying to keep it in a track that's contributing to society? That's just an added a bit of stress. How do you take a break
from everything? I don't think I do. I do a lot of I have a few different hats that I wear because people tend to do that. I'm a travel writer as well, so I do travel a lot, which does help. It really, to get out and clear my head, although a lot of the times I try to combine my travel stories with a story on a social entrepreneur in some foreign land. So, business, it's going to be with me wherever I go. That's the bottom line. But as long as I can do some other things that I enjoy, like travel, and I enjoy music. And so, I there's so many different things that I try to sort of balance with it. But of course, it's always a part of what I do.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is Mark Swartz, your host this week on Career Buzz Radio on CIUT-FM. And I'm speaking with Elisa Birnbaum, who is a co-founder of SeaChangeMagazine.ca and .com. And it is a social entrepreneurship storytelling resource for anybody who wants to get involved with starting or running a business, but also making a contribution to society at the same time. Elisa, 2 years track record, what's been your high point in those 2 years?
I think the high point, I'm trying to think, there's some interviews that we've had that I was able to get that were really, to me, they were great. Like, they really made me, it sort of reminded me and validated why I was doing what I was doing. Getting to speak with a social entrepreneur in Costa Rica and another one in Kenya, these people that are so inspirational and moving mountains, not literally, but they're making a huge difference in the world. And so able to sit down with them and chat about things that they're doing and how they're making a difference really is so inspirational and validating. And the other thing is, I think, speaking even with people here at home, having an interview with Paul Martin, that was big for me. I have a lot of respect for him. Mm. So Arlene Dickinson, who you mentioned before, we just interviewed her for a story. She was just became an impact investor with someone that we're going to be profiling in our upcoming June issue. I mean, these are people that I have a lot of respect for, and to be able to have a chance to speak with them is truly just great. It makes me feel like I'm on the right track.
But it also must be rewarding for you in the sense of you call these people, you call Paul Martin, you call Arlene Dickinson, and rather than them saying, who are you and why should I speak to you, you've got a track record now. So you've actually established something that has some gravitas, that has some weight to it, and people are beginning to respond. How does that make you feel?
Good.
The answer I was looking for.
We work really hard at it, so it's nice to get that response, nice to get that feedback, and I think there were some people that probably didn't expect us to be around still at this point. They thought we had great ideas, and we're really sweet young girls, and we have, big, wide eyes, and I think they sort of, they supported us in certain ways, but I don't think they really thought that 2 years later I'd be sitting here talking about it. So,
but see, they never met you, and they didn't realize that you are actually nuclear powered, petite furnace of bundled energy. Met you, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, we could light up Toronto just by plugging in. So obviously persistence, perseverance, and a lot of energy, and no vacation ever really helps to get this thing started. You mentioned that when you travel sometimes, you'll meet with social entrepreneurs in different countries.
Yeah.
Are there differences between what you see in Canadian social entrepreneurialism and that you see in different realms?
There is. I mean, I think the main way of the main answer I think I would give, the easiest way to answer that is to say that Canadians are a little bit, we're a few years behind. Let's say I went to the UK and I met with some social entrepreneurs there. They're quite ahead of the game in terms of some of the structures they've established and their storytelling. And so I would say that's the biggest thing. But I think Canadians are really, they're doing a lot of amazing things right now, and I think that we're quickly catching up. So I feel like it's sort of we're almost getting there.
And do the entrepreneurs in different countries, do they respect what's happening in Canada within the social entrepreneurial realm?
I think they're starting to. I know that there were certain people that didn't hear much about what was going on in Canada, and then I recently spoke with a couple of people in the States, and they were, some people in New York, some people in Boston. I mean, this is just very close, like North America. We're not talking Europe, but even there, they're starting to hear about Canadians, and they're starting to be impressed with some of the stuff going on, because there is a lot going on, specifically in Vancouver and Toronto. There's a lot of movement right now.
So what would be some examples that you could share with the audience that they might be able to relate to, maybe not have heard of, but social entrepreneurial companies that are making it?
Well, there's not only other companies. I mean, that's great, and they're doing great things. But there's a lot of there's organizations like the Center for Social Impact here in Toronto, and there's going to be the School for Social Entrepreneurs that's starting up in the fall, and that's a franchise of sorts. It started in the UK, and there's a bunch of schools of that kind all over, and Toronto's going to have the first one in North America. And so that's pretty cool. But as far as Canadians doing good work and as far as they're as social entrepreneurs, you have someone like, I went out to Fogo Island and I spoke to a social entrepreneur there, Zita Cobb, who is essentially reimagining the island of Fogo Island, because it was distressed. There was a lot of people having a lot of trouble there, and she's rebuilding this almost, I was going to say by hand, but she's not rebuilding by hand, but she's put it
she
infusing
needs Wobuild.
She needs the services of
Wobuild.
Exactly, yes. But she, because of all her work, and she's actually getting press all over the world, and people are coming from all over to visit and to see what's going on there. She's putting in a new premium high-class hotel, and there's an artist residency that's going on there. So they're pulling people in from all over the world to see what's going on in this tiny little island of Fogo, which is
now, where is that?
It's all the way on the eastern tip of the island. It's 3,000 people or so, and it's just
no. Where is Fogo or Pogo?
Outside of Newfoundland, it's right on the tip of Newfoundland.
Oh, it's ours.
Yeah. That's
I feel
what I'm
so
it's Canada.
Ignorant. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, Elisa Birnbaum of Sea Change Magazine. Funding for any entrepreneur is always a major issue. But in this case, you're adding on that social component. Mm-hmm. And so you might get some skepticism initially from funders. How are you going to manage a social mission as well as raking those big profits in? How have you gone about getting funding, or just an example or two, just again so our listeners can appreciate some of the realities of getting up and running?
Well, here's the thing. Because we're a for-profit, we don't have as much access to a lot of the funding out there. So that's been a huge challenge, but that was our choice. So, so be it. But we do have a couple of social entrepreneurial umbrella organizations in Canada who have supported us since we started. One's called Enterprising Nonprofits, the one's Social Enterprise Council of Canada, and they've been ongoing sponsors for us and our magazine, which has been incredibly helpful. And then aside from that, we've looked, our revenue model is based on advertising, online advertising, which is could be great, and it could be not so great, depending on the months, depending on who's in, who's out. I think bigger than the issue of getting funded as a social entrepreneur, when you're a magazine, getting funded as an online magazine, we're sort of pioneers in that era because it's all new for a lot of advertisers. So trying to figure out what they're getting out of online and what type of, you know, what they can expect in return, that's the type of stuff that we deal with on a regular basis, trying to convince them why it's worth it for them. And the ones that have jumped on board have been incredible, and they've seen what they get out of it, and they've seen great response, and it's been wonderful. And for other people, we're still working on them. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay, Lisa, I'm going to take an interjection for a moment and just talk quickly about a giveaway that we are sponsoring here at CIUT-FM. The Toronto Power of Ideas Conference is coming up at the Glenn Gould Studio. It's if you want information, it's at SIPOFoundation.com, SIPOFoundation.com. You'll find conference info on the main page. Arlene Dickinson, who Lisa mentioned a few moments ago, from Dragon's Den, is the keynote speaker. And it's Saturday, June 2nd, 2 p.m. We have four tickets to give away. Our bank of phone operators is standing by eagerly. I can see her now, this bank of ours. 416-946-7000. Call her now and see if you can pick up four ticks. Okay, so we're back on Career Buzz, speaking to Lisa Birnbaum, co-founder of SeaChangeMagazine.com and .ca. This whole idea of social entrepreneurship, you've now taken it into a two-year time frame with your business. You've passed some of the major hurdles. Where do you go from here? What's the vision that you have?
Our vision is to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and to... Our vision really is to grow bigger. We actually see ourselves expanding a bit even beyond the magazine. We'd like to start. We already did a couple of events. We want to do a few more of those events. We want to have maybe a speaker series. We want to do a video series. We want to have a podcast. So we want to have all kinds of elements that really for the purpose of education, information, inspiration, like all those things that come. It's more than just a magazine that can achieve that. But of course, we're totally 100% dedicated to the magazine too. We'd love to grow. We already have a couple of writers with us. We just hired a salesperson. We'd like to get more writers, and we'd like to get more technical people involved so we can really beautify the site. I mean, I think it looks good now, but when you have more money, you can infuse more stuff into it. You can make it look even better, and that we're hoping that we really could do that to it and expand.
Okay. And what's the biggest challenge for that? I guess money, people?
Money. But we're starting. Like I said, we're starting with partnerships, and not only in Canada. We're actually, interestingly enough, we're getting a lot of response from people in the United States who are wanting to partner with us. So, they want to hear content from Canada, and they want to expand their base too. So it works both ways. And I think that will help us too. And if we hope to get more support from people in Canada, that would be wonderful. But we'll, we're happy. Whoever wants to work with us and partner with us, we are open to it.
Okay. So in our remaining minutes, I want to ask you a question that has to do with having the social purpose and also being a for-profit. Have you come across a situation where you really feel like you're being asked to compromise the principles on which you founded the company just in order to keep the doors open, let's say?
Sure. There have been a couple of advertisers who have asked us to do more advertorial type of pieces, which we don't mind, but we wanted to, let's say, stipulate that it's an advertorial instead of, we want to remain, the integrity of journalism is really what it's about. It's not so much, and as journalists, it's very important for us to be very clear on what we're about and what we're not about.
And that clarity comes from, if I can remind the audience, you have a legal training. You have a law degree.
I do.
So you parse ideas and concepts very, very carefully, and you are cognizant that it's easy to cross lines.
Yeah. Oh, totally easy. And we see it happening all the time when people, you know, if people want to throw money at you, a lot of times people compromise on many things. And we've been very clear that we won't do that. So we're, you know, we stick to our guns so far.
Okay. And just to remind people, if you feel like throwing money at Sea Change magazine, but it's going to compromise Elisa's mission, come to me. I have zero integrity. It's very difficult to compromise me. And this idea of having wads of cash being tossed at you,
yeah,
I find that very appealing.
Oh, good. Good.
We've been speaking with Elisa Birnbaum, co-founder of Sea Change magazine. And how do you describe it? Is there like a one-liner?
Canada's first and only online magazine for social entrepreneurship.
I like that. Did you write that yourself?
I did.
Because you are a professional writer. You are a woman of many hats.
I wear many. Yes, I do.
Okay. Is there one last piece of advice you would give in terms of getting started in social entrepreneurship or working for one?
I think persistence is really key, honestly. If it's something that you really, really want to do, you have to understand that it's you will have to sometimes compromise a bit of the money part for the social part. At the beginning, I don't think it's always necessarily the case in the long run. I think you have to stick with it, be persistent, and just, you know, keep at it. I really think we're a good example of what happens when you keep at it.
And you, of course, would be willing to share that knowledge with anybody who requests it.
Absolutely.
It's part of the giving process.
That is what I am, a giver.
This is Mark Schwartz on Career Buzz Radio, CIUT 89.5 AM. This is to wrap up this week's show. I want to thank our initial guest, Martina Ernst, co-founder of WoeBuilt.com, and Elisa Birnbaum, who is co-founder of SeaChangeMagazine.com.ca. Mark Schwartz from CareerActivist.com. I want to thank you for joining us today, and hopefully you've been somewhat inspired to